Yeah, I mean, I remember years ago watching an octopus pick like World Cup winners
Yeah.
on some type of late night show. And octopi are pretty smart. Like the octopus might have known what was going on.
Down in Mississippi, where the sun beats down from the sky. They give it up and they give it up and they give it up, but they never ask why. Daddy was a rolling, rolling stone.
What is up? Good evening. Welcome home. You are listening to Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, the official sports wagering podcast of the Dome Patrol United podcast group. And with us this week, a new friend that came to me by participating in the podcasting world and participating in gambling Twitter. And he's a really, really sharp young man when it comes to picking winners, and he's also a Saints fan. What's remarkable about my guest today is that he chose the Saints. Saints didn't choose him. He chose the Saints because he's not a New Orleans native or not naturally from the area. But I want to go ahead and welcome to Taking the Over T from the Spread 'Em with T podcast. You can find him on Twitter at T-Man Amongst Boys. T, what's up, dude? How you doing?
Billy, I'm doing okay. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for the very kind intro. Yeah, it's I could sense a little double talk there saying I'm not a New Orleans native as if I'm making a mistake being a Saints fan, but I think I made the right choice. I can't change now. I'm all tatted up with Florida Lee, so.
Oh, yeah, dude. If you got Florida Lee tats, it's a little too late for all of that. No, I mean, to me, it's more special because you chose the Saints. Saints didn't. I mean, like, you know, being from afar, have just like our friends from the UK, I mean, they chose the Saints, like, you know, versus a lot of us were just from this area. We had no choice in the matter, really. I guess we do now, but from the beginning, we didn't. So, I mean, you're a good Saints man, Saints fan, very knowledgeable. Your podcast, Spread 'Em with T. I mean, you're in a very similar genre niche as I am. Saints fan who has a podcast picking games, picking winners, you know, and you had a really good run with the NFL this season. And I mean, man, I'm excited to have you on and get into what we've got talking about, because we're going to hit on two big topics today that I think really play in well to your expertise. The first of which is perhaps the most momentous, exciting thing that has happened on gambling Twitter, certainly since I've been involved with gambling Twitter, but I've only had a gambling Twitter account since October of last year. So, you know, but we have been, you're probably like me in that you're participant in gambling Twitter, but you're also a big observer of gambling Twitter. And so I really wanted to have you on today to talk about what's going on here. So, and pardon me for being so, so wordy here, but I've got to set the table with what's going on.
That's so fine. It's truly a battle of, I wouldn't even say David versus Goliath. It's Goliath versus Goliath at this point. So I'll let you intro.
Two Goliaths going at it. All right. And yeah, and jump in here whenever you need to. So in the little corner of the Twitter sphere, and look, I know I've got like some Twitter followers. I've got a lot of listeners that have nothing to do with Twitter, and I understand that. So I'm going to try and make this make sense for you. Within the universe of gambling Twitter, I mean, there's personalities, right? You think that's fair to say? We got a few personalities out there.
Yeah, it's Twitter itself is like its own. It's almost like its own like RPG game, like the World of Warcraft, where there's like cliques and niches mm-hmm. and clans within Twitter, I would say. And you pick up on them and you somehow become involved in them like unknowingly. So right. You got like Saints Twitter, you have like Pelicans Twitter. You can like, you see the same six guys in different groups, and like gambling right. Twitter is obviously huge and it's getting bigger. And then there's even little like, you can pick up on like storylines within these Twitter clicks of things going on. You don't have mm-hmm. to like see it laid out for you, but you can kind of pick up on like little battles arguments, who doesn't like who, and then obviously this huge event we have coming up.
Right. And so our little corner of the universe is kind of like Saint Twitter, kind of cross-pollinated with gambling Twitter. But yeah, I mean, there's big personalities out there. There's like pretty girls who aren't very good at picking, but they're pretty. So they have like endorsement deals with the biggest people out there. There's people that have spent a lifetime, you know, as sharp bettors and as professional gamblers are there. There's people in the industry that are there. And probably my absolute favorite personality in all of gambling Twitter is a guy that goes by the Twitter handle of @BenTheBetter, and his name is Ben the Better. And I'm a huge fan of Ben. I get a lot out of following him. I've enjoyed following him. He's also like an online gamer apparently, but he picks games. He has a Patreon you can pay to get access to his picks. He is extremely transparent. He is not afraid to show you exactly what he's doing. He will post ahead of time. He'll win or lose. Ben's gonna own it, right? And the thing about Ben is he has a reputation of being incorrect more often than he's correct. Do you think that's fair to say?
Yeah, it was a very polite and respectful way of saying it. I think you're spot on where, if I'm not mistaken, he had a month where he was 80 units in the hole, just to provide context.
January was that month. Yes. So if you know, like I'll casually say $30 is a unit in my world. And then, yeah, so, you know, that would have been like up a real easy casual, you know, 80 times 30. In my world. But yeah, like that was the month of January. January, he's finished down 80 units for the month. I don't know that I saw any February totals from him, but I followed him for, you know, like I said, for a few months now that I've been on gambling Twitter. And he's consistently wrong. But he doesn't stop. He's got a heart of gold. He is committed to his craft. And, you know, if there's a hashtag out there in the gambling Twitter world, and it's hashtag fade Ben go broke, because as you can imagine, picking as he does, there are people that just try to fade Ben as like as their go to thing. They're just going to whatever Ben picks, they're going to pick the opposite of it.
Well, he recently, I'm assuming it's recently, since it's the first time I've noticed it, but he changed his Twitter name. His handle is still @BenTheBetter, but his name is Ben, and then in parentheses, it's world's worst better. So he's right. Owning his ability to pick games.
I feel better saying some of the things I'm saying, given that Ben has changed his title to world's worst better, which I don't believe he is. But, you know, if Ben feels that way, Ben feels that way. But he's often he'll own when he's wrong. He'll own when he misses. And I think that's probably why you see, you know, a little more negativity coming out of Ben than other people. Also, Ben is very excited. Like a lot of people, as you can imagine, the internet is a cruel, cruel place. A lot of people like to troll Ben and tease Ben and fuck with Ben. Dude, that's just bullying. You know, what's your thoughts on that, T?
Yeah, I mean, especially with the fact that he's not going out and he's not like fudging his numbers, because you see that a lot where people will post their like 7-0, I had 7-0 Saturday, but right. They hide the fact that they had like an 0-12 Sunday. So he
doesn't hide anything.
Yeah, he doesn't hide. He's totally transparent with his record and his daily picks. And he's, from what I can tell, obviously I've never spoken with him, or I mean, liked a few of his tweets, interacted with a few. He doesn't seem like a bad guy at all, where he deserves the kind of hate. He's just going out there trying to make a buck with his Patreon account and doing what he likes. And that's kind of what the whole point of Twitter is, right? So I don't understand. I mean, I understand it because it's everywhere, not just there. But I don't think Ben the Better deserves the kind of treatment he gets from most of his followers.
I agree with you. And I plan to, once I make my big home purchase here soon and my mortgage guy will let me start buying things, I plan on subscribing to his Patreon. So I can get the information first, but that's an aside. Ben's got a solid following. He's got like almost 9,000 Twitter followers, which is pretty solid. And he's been at it for a long time. And so it looks like he recently got in an argument or got in a feud with another participant in in gambling Twitter named Rob Pizzola. And Rob is a Canadian picker, right? I don't know if Rob does this for a living. I know Rob's been around for a long time. He has a lot of followers. And doing my research on Rob, he appears to, I mean, he's like any number of other folks out there on gambling Twitter, just, you know, sharing their picks with the world. I mean, Rob seems sharpish to me. Like he is also very, very accomplished at picking winners. And he and Ben got into an argument, and the culmination of this argument was that Rob and Ben decided to settle their differences by having a wager, 7-day pickoff wager showdown, where Ben doesn't take on Rob the human. What Ben is going to do is Ben is going to go head to head in picking winners against Rob Pizzola's pet tortoise named Tortellini. So moving forward, we're not going to refer to Rob as much. We're going to refer to Tortellini the tortoise. And Rob has been very, very, very transparent about this. They've shared detailed video instruction on exactly how Tortellini is going to make his picks. He's going to share Tortellini's picks on video every day. Bovada, the online sportsbook Bovada, has stepped in, and Bovada is actually, now you can bet on who's going to win out of the matchup between Ben the Better and Rob Pizzola's tortoise Tortellini.
It's like gambling and inception.
It's
you're
like
gambling this, on gambling on gambling.
I was trying to explain this to a casual person today, and she did not like it. And she just, you know, she's like, nah, that doesn't do much for him. But I think this is remarkable. I think this is like one of the most exciting things that's ever, man versus tortoise. Right? So what I want to do is I want to get into this. I want to really break down the finer parts of this, and between the two of us, maybe you and I, and I wanted to get this pot out soon because this competition is going to start on March the 10th. It's going to go through March 17th. Ben's going to pick 3 games a day across NBA, college basketball, NHL, spread or totals. If Ben on a specific game takes a total, then Tortellini will take the side spread. If Tortellini takes a spread, Ben's going to take a total. So they've worked out some really good rules. Like I said, Bovada has stepped in here. And Bovada is a legitimate online sports book. I have friends that have Bovada accounts. I'm probably going to open up a Bovada account just to participate in this endeavor. The opening lines on Bovada of who is going to win this competition. T, would you believe that Tortellini is the favorite? The money line on Tortellini is -170. And Ben is the underdog in this head-to-head competition of man versus tortoise, and Ben is +135. And I've also seen reported on Twitter that 54% of the action is on Tortellini so far.
54% of the action is on a reptile, a turtle, to pick games better than a human man. I mean, does that say more about, is this the smartest turtle of all time, or is people truly do not have that faith at all in Ben's ability to pick games?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's something. The opening line is shocking. Opening line says a lot. And I want to get into the analysis here. Here comes some analysis. Okay, so I've really been fixated on this, as you can tell. And it's something that I've put a lot of thought into. And I'm leaning Ben. I'm leaning team. I'm a human. I'm team human. I'm not team reptile. I'm team human, right? So I'm supporting my man Ben here, and here's why. There's been speculation that Ben isn't real, right? Have you heard any of that over time?
Isn't real? Like he's a bot?
No, like Ben is not Ben. Ben is like some kind of troll account manned by like super sharp handicappers and that they are trolling the world by missing games at the rate that Ben misses games.
So what happened? Okay, so what is at stake here if Tortellini wins or if Ben wins? What do they get if they win? Is there anything, or is this just bragging rights?
They've both sides, Tortellini via his rep Rob Pizzola, and Ben Tortellini via his human Rob, and Ben have agreed to donate some monies to charity. I mean, like, I don't know. There's a lot at stake. I mean, fuck the money. Money's the least of your concerns. This is about bragging, right? This is about pride. I got to tell you, if Ben beats this tortoise, which I believe he will, dude, this is just the beginning of fucking human versus animal handicapping contests. I really feel that way.
There is quite a storied history in man versus animal gambling picks. And I suggest, this is Ben, if you're listening, if you lose to this turtle named Tortellini, you have to reveal your actual identity for all of Twitter. That should be at stake.
Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going Ben. I'm picking Ben. I'm with Ben. And I'll tell you why here in a second. And when Ben wins, it would be so important for Ben to come on Taking the Over. Look, Ben, I'll share my analytics with you, bro. Ben, I'll send my download numbers. This is not a bad use of your time. This is a very well listened to podcast, thanks to my friends at the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. They've put 10 years into podcasting. It's worth your time to come on this podcast, Ben, if you're listening. Believe it or not, I know I've only got 80 Twitter followers. I've got exponentially more downloads. Okay, so I was, again, having this conversation with my friend today, and I was telling her why I'm so, and she goes, what do you want? I said, I want to know the truth about Ben. I want to share Ben's truth with the world.
It's something I want to uncover. This is like on the level of like National Treasure Nicolas Cage stuff in terms of mystery and intrigue in this storyline. There's a lot of moving parts, and it's an onion, and I want to peel the layers off here.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So I'm team human. I'm a human. Ben's a human. You know, and I'm not asking where you are, but let me just lead with, I'm going Ben, and here's why. I believe that Ben is maybe the sharpest handicapper in all of gambling Twitter. I believe that Ben maybe is. And I believe that one of two things are adjacent to that. Number one, I believe that Ben may just be trolling everybody with getting his picks from, because T, you know this. You know gambling analytics as well as anybody, right? Well, at like 60% hits, that's almost pro level, right?
Pro level is like 55. Like that is like over like long term. If you're hitting 55%, you're like in the top 10 percentile of gamblers. So
what I'm telling you is Ben's miss rate exceeds that. And it's almost a mathematical impossibility. But no one, I believe that one of two things is the actual truth. Number one, and I used to do this a lot. You ever had that certain kind of mental illness where you just won't let yourself win? Have you ever experienced that where you self-sabotage, you're doing something on purpose? I think these numbers do not occur naturally. I believe that Ben is either trolling the world or Ben is inadvertently at the last second sabotaging himself and picking losers when he knows the actual winner.
So your two options here is that one, Ben is an evil gambling genius, or two, Ben suffers from some sort of mental illness where he can't see himself succeed.
I've suffered from the same mental illness before. I understand it happened. I mean, I'm not trying to. Yeah, I believe it could be one of those two things. I mean, what's your take on this? I want to hear your take, and then I want to just talk a little bit about tortoises, and keep moving here. What you got? Well, I mean, what's your take on this?
So my thing is, I truly think Ben is just an extremely unlucky human, but I do see the intrigue and the real possibility that he is the complete opposite and is actually very good and is just this massive troll. Mm-hmm. There's, you can kind of see that I've been trying to read his tweets after he posts. He posts kind of live tweets as games are going on. Like, he'll do a lot of prop bets. And it's like Joel Embiid to score 30 points or something in the game. And he's and Joel Embiid has like 2 points, three quarters of the game. And he's like, you could sense this anguish in Ben's tweets. And I don't know if he's just that good of a Twitter actor or if he's truly that upset. And I think that just adds to this, like, this modern mystery within the gambling sphere here on Twitter. So I'm going to lean towards him just being the world's worst bettor. Not that it's a bad thing. Not many people are the world's best bettor. No one's good at gambling. I've learned that a long time ago.
Right.
If you're good, if you're hitting just over half the time, you're in the top percentile. So people think, and I think we've talked about this before on my show, is that people, especially with the popularity of Twitter, everyone thinks they can do it. Everyone thinks it's easy and everyone wants to get involved in it. And then they realize how much of a money pit it is if you're just throwing darts at a board here. So I truly think he's just not that great of a gambler. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's supposed, I do it for entertainment purposes. If I was doing it to make a profit, I would not be posting my 7-5 record on Twitter. You know what I mean? Like, I'm doing it for fun. I do because I like watching the games and having some extra skin in the game, which is what most people want to do. So I think good for him for doing what he likes to do and not being ashamed to post his subpar records. I'll say it nicely. So I don't think there's some evil plot here where he's a troll. I truly think he's just not a great gambler. There's a theory.
There was a theory that Ben mushed Bitcoin a while back. So Bitcoin is cruising. Bitcoin jumped up to like $40,000 of Bitcoin. And then Ben came out on Twitter and he was like, "Hell yeah, guys, Bitcoin is play." And then Bitcoin dropped 10 grand the next day.
So he could just be like the Blitz. Like, he is the mush of everything. But there's a philosophical theory called Occam's Razor. I don't know if you've heard of this. Most of the time, the simplest explanation for something happening is probably why it happened. People tend to like to dig into rabbit holes and conspiracy theories and this and that. But in reality, 9 out of 10 times, the simplest and most easy to explain is the reason that that particular thing is happening. So I'm going to not overthink it, as I tend to always do, and just say, Ben, I enjoy your content. I respect you, but you are just not a good gambler.
So are you, it sounds like, you would favor tortellini at minus 170. You can take tortellini in the juice.
Not a ton of value at minus 170, honestly. So obviously the pure novelty of it is like you have to ride with the turtle because for the simple fact it's an animal picking games. But I think you have to, in whenever you get something this ridiculous, you kind of have to go with the higher value odds. Like, if Ben's the underdog, I'm going to go with Ben also because the payout's better. I'm not going to put my life savings on a battle between man and tortoise in gambling, but I'm going to...
It's like a prop bet. It's like a Super Bowl prop bet where you're limited to like $1,500, right?
Exactly. So the best option here is to go with the underdog, go with Ben. It's like, it's literally just like taking a shot in the dark and just praying that Ben can put it together to beat a turtle in a game of using intelligence, which I'm not a reptilian expert by any means. I'm pretty sure tortoises live a long time.
They do live a long time.
I don't think that they have a ton. I don't know if their IQ and cognitive ability is all that strong. So this is kind of like a Jeff Foxworthy battle. It's like, instead of are you smarter than a fifth grader, are you better at gambling than a shelled reptile named tortellini? A pasta. And that's
the animal intelligence piece of this is so exciting to me because, as we were speaking earlier, I remember years ago during, it was like a World Cup summer, and one of the late night TV show hosts had like an octopus, you know, and the octopus was picking winners in the World Cup. But octopi are known to be of incredible intelligence. Some people, hint, myself, believe that occupy are in fact aliens, not of this planet, that they came here via, you know, ancient alien spacecraft, or maybe just a meteor, which could also qualify as an ancient alien spacecraft. So octopi may have a natural advantage. You were giving me a reference earlier about dogs picking games. This is not the first time that animals have picked a game, but I feel like this is the first time that we have had a head-to-head showdown between man and animal.
Yeah, I look at it like kind of a throwback to like the Colosseum. You're getting like a man versus a lion in the pits here, but instead of with swords and spears, they are picking overs and unders and spreads. So octopus, to give you credit, are probably intelligent, right? And according to you, they're probably otherworldly beings. I won't get into that rabbit hole.
That's okay.
But you, under your assumption, you're assuming that not only is octopus, turtle, what have you, intelligent, but they are actually cognizant of the world around them and understand the concept of sports, gambling, and are able to not just know what to pick, but know the implications of what they're doing. You're building this up pretty high.
Yes, because it's important. See, this is important stuff. I don't want to believe that we're going to lose to the reptiles. You know, I don't believe that. I don't. You ever heard of a reptile brain? It's a very base brain. It's a very ego oriented. I bet you that fucking turtle has got a ridiculously raging ego narcissist complex. I'm speaking specifically to Tortellini. This is not a reflection of his human handler, Rob, who I don't know. I'd like Rob to come on the podcast too. Rob seems like an awesome guy. I mean, I'm team Ben because, you know, I'm team human. But it's real quick, I want to hit you with some tortoise facts. I don't know if this is going to change anything for you, because you seem like you're on team reptile. A tortoise is a turtle, but a turtle is not a tortoise. Did you know that?
You know, in my extensive research of Googling 15 minutes before we talked, I did learn that was one of the first results that popped up.
Well, we probably are looking at the same article because it's like one of the first five. Group of tortoises is called a creep. That fact is stupid, and I don't like that fact either. The lighter the shell of the turtle, the warmer the origin. Tortoises cannot swim, but they can hold their breath for a long time. I'm going to go advantage Ben here. I don't know if Ben can swim or not, but I believe there's probably a good chance that he can. And I'd like to get clarification from Ben on that. And it says tortoises can hold their breath for a long time. I believe that Ben could probably hold his breath for a long time too.
This may be the first battle of many between these two. Dude, the next battle will be who can swim in Olympic pool and hold their breath the whole time.
And then I've got a friend that actually breeds tortoises, and I thought about like bringing him in, but it's just too much. Maybe on the post show, I'll get my friend that's a tortoise breeder to like really give me some tortoise. It should the impossible happen and the tortoise win. Tortoises can live more than 100 years and weigh up 200 pounds. Charles Darwin and Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter, had the same tortoise, a Galapagos tortoise named Harriet. I feel like tortoises have some advantage just given that they can live so long and you know, they're at the end of the day, they eat grass and they're minimalist. I mean, they're kind of conservationist. I mean, they seem like an advanced life form. They can't swim, but they can hold their breath really long. You know, I can see where you could get seduced by the possibility of picking the tortoise. I think that this is going to be Ben's time to shine. I would imagine that Ben is really, really prepping and doing some homework. I mean, this could be taking place during March Madness. You know, Ben can get some college basketball winners on. I think he had a couple college basketball winners just yesterday. You know, I feel like Ben's going to run this competition. And if I'm over at Bovada and I'm making a pick, I'm picking Ben plus 135. And I'm going to share one more analogy. Do you remember right around Thanksgiving time? I think there was one of those golfing competitions where it was like Steph Curry and Tom Brady took on like Phil Mickelson and Charles Barkley in golf, right?
The match two or match three.
And Barkley and Mickelson were the underdogs. They had like a plus 130 money line on that. And I looked at the rules and I was like, why are people thinking these two amateur golfers are going to beat one professional and then the guy just is going to have to putt it within 8 feet of the, you know,
right.
And they can two putt every hole theoretically and win. I'm applying the same logic here. I know that there's a lot different between Charles Barkley, Phil Mickelson, Peyton Manning, Steph Curry, Tom Brady, all of the people involved in these challenges, and the Tortoise and Ben. But I'm going Ben, dude. I'm going Ben the Better. I'm going at Ben the Better. If you listen to this podcast and you know that I'm a supporter of Ben, I want you to like reach out to Ben, tweet Ben, let him know that Billy Gunn is on his side. What you got? Final definitive pick. Gun to your head. You got to go one way or the other. What you going to do? Because you almost had me thinking you were going to sit this one out.
So, no, I would absolutely join you and go in Team Ben here. And just for the fact that whenever you get ridiculous novelty things like Phil Mickelson golfing with Charles Barkley, you got to go the underdog just for the pure value on it. Because it's not like I'm putting a ton of money on it. So I'd rather get a better return on my investment with the, and again, trusting a human over a turtle seems like the logical choice. But crunching numbers on it, the turtle logistically is going to pick between two pieces of food, or I think it's kale is his primary diet. So it'll be picking between two pieces of kale, each representing a side or a total in that game. That's more or less a 50-50 shot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ben, who's hitting at a rate of 40%, we said.
Something
wrong
like
about
that.
60% of the time.
Fair enough. Yeah.
I almost trust flipping a coin over someone who's actually thinking about these things and has a track record of being so incredibly wrong so often. So the statistician in me, I was in AP stats class in high school, so pretty smart when it comes to numbers. Of course, all that information has stuck with me. I'm thinking the 50-50 shot here is probably better than Ben and his track record. But again, with the underdog and with just the odds and the payout on taking a human again over a turtle, I think I have to go Team Ben also.
Good. Dude, I'm excited. So for the record, Billy Gunn is backing Ben as the underdog here at plus 135. T from Spread 'Em with T is also backing Ben at plus 135. Ben, you got a couple fans here. Not to say, you know, no disrespect to Tortellini, right? No disrespect to Rob, his human handler. I'm just going Team Human here, man. And look, and if I'm wrong, I'll be wrong with Ben. And I'll be wrong with you, it sounds like, now, too.
Yeah,
so
I mean, I'm sure Tortellini is an incredible pet, incredible turtle, but I don't know what their skill is in picking. I'm assuming they're picking basketball games or hockey also, I guess.
Like hockey, NBA, yeah. March Madness, college, pro, and NHL spread and totals. So there's a lot there. Well, and again, you know, I thought it to be an interesting story. It's something that we're going to keep our eye on here in taking the over studios and taking the over headquarters. And we're going to make sure that we see this amazing competition through and give you some updates and hopefully have one or both participants on at some point as we move forward. You know, that would be pretty
Titans.
Sweet. Big time. TD, you have some time to run through some NFC division futures with me.
Yeah, that sounds just lovely. Let's do it.
All right, cool. So, you know, one of the things when we don't have football this time of year, it's real hard to bet on football, right? Now, being Saints fans, we have this added joy of just watching them work their salary cap wizardry the entire offseason.
And the best part of that is all the people that get pissed off when they're posting about how far they're under the or over the cap in February,
right.
And they're like, they're in salary cap hell. That term has been recycled for 15 seasons at this point, I feel like.
Yeah.
And every year, Mickey Loomis and their team run their work their magic, and somehow they're still signing guys in March and April.
Yeah, they just re-signed somebody and lowered their contract. I mean, like, they do all this magic every year. It always works out. This year is really a classic case of watching it happen. And so really, outside of that, there's not a whole lot of football news. We're leading up to the draft. I have a strong disdain of mock drafts. I'm not gonna participate in that. But what I do is super fun to do this time of year is to pick divisional futures when you don't know anything. You don't know free agency. You don't know. I mean, free agency hasn't opened. You don't know draft. Draft hasn't taken place. And so it's kind of like picking in the blind, almost like picking a tortoise versus a human.
Yeah. One and the same.
Right. But we also, there's some fresh biases in play here. And everything comes back to last year. So like when we were looking at the AFC last week, it really made a lot like Tennessee all over the place was being hugely undervalued, but they seem like the most secure, sure thing outside of Kansas City happening in the AFC. You know, so we kind of leaned into the Tennessee Titans last week. But I want to start here. I want to run through the NFL NFC division future division winners. So starting with the NFC East, and I'll roll through these in order of favoritism. So Dallas, and this odd is via Bet Online. Dallas is currently the favorite to win the NFC East. And you have to assume that assumes a healthy Dak Prescott, of course, or some other quarterback option, because that situation hasn't even played itself out yet. So Dallas is actually the leading favorite at plus 115, followed by, get this, because the NFC, we all know the NFC East was such a shit show last year. Washington football team would be the second favorite to win the NFC East at plus 300, according to BetOnline, followed by the Philadelphia Eagles at plus 400, followed by the New York Giants at plus 425. T, what the fuck is going on in the NFC East, and who is going to win it next year?
The first question of that is who cares, realistically, because right. The division is such a shit show each year. But that being said, there's some good value in there. And you touched on, there's a lot of uncertainty, obviously, like who is going to be Washington's quarterback. They just cut Alex Smith after he won comeback player of the year. You go and cut him. Seems strange, but
$24 million.
Yeah, it's a huge cap hit. And yeah, he really isn't all that impressive anymore.
No. I'll tell you who was that young man that played in the playoffs for him. Heinicke.
Yeah. He was running all over the field against the Bucs.
Man.
So,
you know,
and then the Eagles have Hurts, we assume.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I would say the best value in that division for me is the Giants.
Wow. Plus 425.
It's a big payout.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to be the one team in that division trending in the right direction.
Well, and it was hard to see who they were last year when they lost their best player in, what, week one, week two?
Right. So you have to assume Daniel Jones only gets better, or at least plays the same. I don't see him getting any worse. And that division, I see the winning team probably having no more than 9 wins.
Right. That could happen. All of them could perform poorly again, and likely will.
I think if you got to pick one, I would go Jeeba in there, just because I think they're trending in the right direction. They have kind of a commitment to getting better here, and I think they're going to have a strong offseason. They just cut Golden Tate.
Yeah.
I think they're starting to figure it out, and I think with that, with those odds at plus 400, plus 420, that is the best value of the four.
I'm going to go in a similar route to you, because I think that the Cowboys are just snake bit. Something's going to happen. You know, they're going to come out the blocks first 5 weeks looking fine, and then Dallas is going to do what Dallas does in recent years. I actually think Philadelphia at plus 400 is the value here, because I'm a firm believer that, I mean, Carson Wentz playing quarterback last year was the worst quarterback play I've ever seen in the NFL at any point, anywhere, any quarterback of all time. And I honestly feel that the Eagles, with Jalen Hurts, if they'd had Hurts in more games or started him earlier, even just a few weeks earlier, maybe even just 1 or 2 weeks earlier than they did, I feel like the Eagles could have won that division.
Yeah. Obviously, we saw it firsthand when Hurts started against the Saints and beat them.
Yeah.
So that's a good pick also. I don't see any value in the Cowboys just because, like you said, something is going to happen to them.
Right.
And we don't even know if Dak Prescott will be the quarterback, if he's going to be healthy. Even if he is, the Cowboys are just perennially cursed, it seems, with that division. So I don't love them, especially with that kind of odds. And then football team, there's just too much uncertainty.
Yeah.
They have a good defense, good young kids, but I don't know who's going to be their quarterback.
Football team could be a couple years away from being okay, but you're right. This year is not the year from that. So moving on, we're going to move to the NFC North. Again, in order of odds, Green Bay at -240 is the clear favorite, according to Bet Online, to win the NFC North. Minnesota at +360 would be next. It's really only a three-team race, and things would have to work out well in Chicago for them to even be considered in this conversation at +600. But pulling up the rear of this is a team that is absolutely a statistical long shot to win their division, in the Detroit Lions at +2200. See, this one seems easy, right? I mean, this is like there's no room for shenanigans here. Green Bay at -240. Barring an Aaron Rodgers injury, you got to think that they're going to stick this landing, right?
Yeah, I mean, the odds stink, but that's kind of what you expect because they're pretty much worlds away from the rest of the division. I would say the Bears should have been number two as opposed to the Vikings. I think they're closer or have a better shot. I'm not a Mitch hater by any means. I actually like Mitch Trubisky. I think he kind of, if you let him do what he does and let him use his legs a bit, I think he's actually he's a serviceable quarterback. If you maximize his potential, which is more in the coaching than him as a player, that team's defense is okay. They have some skilled players to an extent, but I don't think anyone can challenge the Packers. And I think you're just burning money if you put money on anyone else but Green Bay at that point.
Yep. Now, Green Bay is solid. And I feel like if the Saints had gone to Green Bay, you know, we'd have faced a real tough matchup there in the NFC Championship game this year. I felt like going into the playoffs that Green Bay was the class of the NFC and perhaps the class of the NFL. And we saw them. Interesting things happen when you play Tom Brady in the NFL. Moving on to the NFC West. This one's going to be a little bit, this is such a crazy fucking division. As incompetent and just not time worthy as NFC East is, the NFC West is equally just batshit. You know, you've got the Rams at +190 as the favorites. Just behind them is San Francisco at +200, Seattle at +300. Who knows if Russell Wilson's going to stay there? The more I read and see that, it looks like he's going somewhere, not Seattle. And then bringing up the rear is going to be Arizona, who, according to Bet Online, is at +475. T-Man, what's your read on the NFC West at this point?
So the Rams are, I think, are the clear choice on paper. When you add Matt Stafford to an otherwise pretty good roster, defensively speaking, they were, I think, number one for a while, especially against the pass, with Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald. Good against the run in the front seven. So they're on paper the best team. Seattle, again, they currently have future New Orleans Saints quarterback Russell Wilson on their roster. So who knows if it could be Taysom Hill in a trade? Who knows what's going on there? They seem like they're in this funk, I'll say. I don't really like Pete Carroll, and I don't think the rest of that team is really built well and has a good chemistry, for a lack of a better way to say it. I don't think they would would be a good pick. The Niners, I feel like, could for some reason just out of nowhere become good again. I mean, they were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. They had a lot of injuries this year. They were playing with their four-string running back, Jeff Wilson, for a majority of the season without Mostert. So I think if they stay healthy, they could be a potential pick. But I don't think that Jimmy Garoppolo will be the quarterback this year. He could be a cut casualty.
Right, right. And he's probably got a decent-sized little cap number two.
Right.
You know, when the Stafford speculation was going on, you know, I went on record as going, look, Stafford goes to either the Rams or the 49ers, I think you plug either of those teams into the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think he can make that big of an impact. So the Rams at plus 190 here, and you mentioned San Francisco got bit by the injury bug bad this year. Bad. They were decimated. Then they decimated us as Saints fans when we played them. You know, they're the team that finished the job and sent Drew packing for a while. But I feel like the Rams with Stafford are just going to be the class out here. Finally, I feel like the NFC West will have a clear-cut dominant leader, although these teams are kind of grouped up pretty close according to Bet Online. Man, I also think that Stafford is going to have that magnetic effect of he is going to attract other talented players to come play with the Rams, to take a little bit lesser salary to go to a team where they think they can win it, and they think they can win it in a soon, short window. And that's the fun of picking these divisional winner futures right now, is you don't know all that. It's speculation as to the direction of free agency. But I see a lot of value here. And the favorite at plus 190, you know, Vegas just can't quite figure out who is the clear front runner. But for me, with Stafford in the house, and I think his ability to attract other free agents, because teams are going to see that they can go and win now, I think the Rams are a no-brainer here.
Yeah, and the thing about Stafford is, too, because you talk about like speculation, what could happen, he plays through so many injuries, and he plays at a high level through injuries, where even if he were to get banged up, he's still going to go out there and battle and give you a solid outing. So he is a heart and soul player. He's a likable guy. Teammates seem to like him. He's finally in a organization that has a chance to win now, and that should bring out the best in him, you would think.
Right.
So I think you're right and spot on with the Rams. It seems like the only logical choice. The Cardinals, they got J.J. Watt, who will play six games and then be hurt again, so it doesn't really matter. The Cardinals don't do it for me. They'll be 8-8, 9-7. So I think the Rams are the best pick by a long shot.
Yeah, well, I mean, it seems like there should be a bigger gap there, and that actual number would appear to have some value, and that's probably a future that I'm going to move ahead and recommend in place. And that brings us to the NFC South, home of our beloved New Orleans Saints. As I'd mentioned in previous week's podcast, I didn't even look at the NFC numbers yet until I cracked it this morning and took a look. And, you know, you've got Tampa Bay leading it at minus 130, followed by New Orleans at plus 240, followed by Carolina at plus 650, followed by Atlanta at plus 800. T-Man, what have you got on this NFC South? Are we going to put money on Tampa Bay to win the NFC South? Is that what's fucking happening? The four-time back-to-back-to-back-to-back NFC South champion New Orleans Saints, who owned Tampa Bay in the regular season, are being disrespected with plus 240.
So, yeah. I mean, I'm going to go Atlanta at plus 800, obviously.
Right. That's the value.
No. I'm going to pick the Saints purely for the fact that I just need another T-shirt that says the South is not enough, because I don't have enough of those already from 4 years in a row of just divisional winner T-shirts, but nothing else. So I got to have a fifth one in a row.
Well, if you place this bet, you can pay for your shirt.
True.
This shirt's paid for.
I mean, there was a time where in this division, there was never a back-to-back winner from its inception.
Right.
Right.
And now the Saints have won it 4 years in a row.
And there's a time it was pumping out Super Bowl champions, like again last year. I mean, so it's the NFC South has been a hotbed, you know. And I mean, obviously we're biased because it's our home division to our home team. I mean, trying to take the homerism out of this, I don't think you can sleep on the. I still think we're at the back end of our window, and I'm about to say some blasphemy here. Who's to say that we're not better without Drew next year?
Yeah, it's a tough pill to swallow, and you obviously see all that argument going on, especially in social media. You got like the diehard Drew fans who will want to see him until he literally doesn't have any arms, until his arms fall out of his sockets.
Yeah.
And you have the people that are saying they would have won the Super Bowl. We've talked about it. If they didn't get the no call against the Rams, they would have gone to the Super Bowl, hopefully beat the Patriots. Drew retires and we're in a better place now, but
right.
We can't get into hypotheticals. So we're where we are at with him. I assume he's going to retire. Anytime he posts on social media, I get excited, then you get the kind of sick feeling in your stomach, and then you realize it's just Drew Brees posting about his new hibachi grill.
Let's say it's just a Jimmy John's ad. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just him skiing with his kids, and he's like his Instagram feed is very dad-like, which is who he is. So all that totally irrelevant information. I would say the Saints are still the best all-around team, especially in the regular season.
Yeah.
They're not
week in, week out.
You know what their cap numbers are, but you know what they're going to do to get under that number while not losing important pieces. They're restructuring everyone under the sun to make sure they get under that number while still keeping their core intact. So as long as they have a good offensive line, as long as they have the keys on defense and like the Lattimores and the Cam Jordan, even though he didn't have a great year, and like DeMario Davis was just restructured, they should still be competitive. And I at plus 240, why would you not take the team who just won it 4 years in a row?
Right.
It hasn't changed aside from an aging quarterback.
Yeah. Who, again, I mean, it's going to be somebody different. It's probably going to be Jameis. I feel like I fluctuate week to week, but let's go. Let's do it. Let's make it happen.
Yeah. I just want to know at this point so we can prepare appropriately our mental and emotional state and then just elite. I just want to know. It's just out of curiosity. I want to know who the quarterback's going to be. I don't want to find out in May. If it's going to be Russell Wilson, trade away Jimmy Graham 2.0, do whatever blockbuster deal you got to do with Seattle and get him. I don't care if you give away all your draft picks. They're just, at this point, they're not drafting for needs. They're drafting for pure vanity and best player available, which is what they usually do anyway.
Right.
So it's not like the draft picks are all that important to them. If you're going to give them up, if you got to give up a Lattimore, you got to give up someone like that for it, so be it. I think Russell Wilson makes you a Super Bowl contender more so than you already were immediately. He's like a better, younger Drew Brees, size-wise, athletic ability-wise. His favorite player growing up was Drew Brees because they're both 5'11".
Right. Yeah, I'd love to see Russell, obviously, come and be our quarterback, and I do believe that he is going to leave Seattle this offseason. I don't think we have what they need. You know, and I'd be okay with letting some big high profile pieces go. I don't think that's what, you know, what's in the cards for the Saints this year. And I'll try to put a button on this Saints quarterback discussion like this. And you know, probably for almost the length of time that you've been a Saints fan, I know a big portion of your Saints fandom, Drew Brees was the quarterback. Right.
Yeah, I mean, I had a few Aaron Brooks and Jeff Blake.
Right. Years,
but
and we the long. We got to think. We got to like. It's like we got to program ourselves to think back to a time before Drew, when we were talking ourselves into these quarterbacks year after year after year. Oh, let me explain why X quarterback's gonna be good. Oh, let me explain by. Why quarterbacks, you know, like, and we did it. Like, as Saints fans, we have a PhD in talking ourselves into why a fucking quarterback, this dog shit, is going to be good. And if, like, if you ever hear me not taking the pill on Jameis Winston, that's why.
dude, I've been in this practice of talking myself into, bro, at one point we were telling ourselves why fucking Kerry Collins was going to be good. We were telling ourselves why Heath Shuler was going to be good. We were telling ourselves why two guys with the name of Billy Joe could do it as a tandem and get us where we needed to go during the Ditka years. I mean, it's just been, it's been a ride, and we're about to enter into a new chapter, and it's exciting. And I said, it's fun to watch the salary cap wizardry take place this offseason. I've got New Orleans to win the NFC South as well. I think plus 240 is excellent odds. For the NFC Championship, you know, right now, the clear-cut leader in the clubhouse again is going to be Tampa Bay at plus 350, followed by Green Bay at plus 550. And then the third team on that is going to be the Rams at plus 650, San Francisco at plus 750. You don't even get to New Orleans till we're like down to plus 1,200. And actually, that's a Bovada line. Bovada also sponsoring Tortellini versus Ben. You know, I could see the Rams with a lot of value at plus 650 there. Dude, I could see a lot of value in the Saints at plus 1,200. Who's going to win the NFC?
I would go Homer, obviously, and just pick the Saints for fun. I do it every year. I put a future on the New York Mets to win the World Series, which is never going to work out. I put it
on be a hell of a future this year. Huh?
I put it on the Rangers to win the Stanley Cup, the Pelicans to win the finals, and the Saints to win the Super Bowl just for fun. But I think Jameis is like, – I like Jameis. I think he has athletic ability, obviously. I don't want to get too far into that. But right. I would even sprinkle if the line opens up like – comeback player of the year award, if that's allowed, or ooh, even an MVP on Jameis.
Yeah. Yeah.
The, over 5,000 yards if you put him in a good system.
You'll start to see some individual player props in the preseason, and they'll carry into the regular season through the first few weeks as well, player future props. So I'm with you, bro. I'd sprinkle a little bit on New Orleans, and I'd sprinkle a little bit on the Rams too, because I feel like the Rams are good value at plus 650. Bovada's got the Rams at plus 650. Ben Online's got them at plus 650. So, T, that's all that I've got for this week's Taking the Over. Man, I am so excited that you came to join us. I've been a guest on your pod a couple times. I'm very, very thankful for the platform you've given me over there. Is there anything specific that you wanted us to get to this week that we might have missed?
You know, we got March Madness coming up, so I'll be posting on Twitter and Instagram just the daily picks, your daily spreaducation on games I like. Been on about 54% this season so far in basketball, so doing okay for my first full season doing basketball. Really was focused on football, but now diversifying the betting portfolio, so to speak,
there you go,
into basketball, hockey. I even did some Premier League, and you know, I watched the Ted Lasso show on Apple TV with Jason Vegas and loved it. So I was like, you know what? I downloaded FIFA for my PlayStation, bet on Burnley, who I don't even know who that was, plus 0.75 against, I think it was Arsenal, and they draw, so I won.
Oh,
now
wow.
I'm probably going to start sprinkling some soccer in there too, just for fun.
Oh,
don't know a ton
bets
about it, but it's interesting to watch. So
I love soccer bets.
Make sure to check me out on Twitter and Instagram for those picks. It's at Spread 'Em with T on both. So we'll get some March Madness previews out there as well. We got the NBA All-Star game tonight. I am on Team Durant, and I have a little sprinkle on Zion to win the All-Star game MVP.
Are they playing tonight?
It's playing right. The 3-point contest, and then it goes into the game, and the dunk contest is at halftime. So you're going to be totally inundated with commercials and the milking of this until probably about 1 a.m.
Okay, well, I might tune into that. I got some 90-day fiance in my future, and then I'll tune into that. But, well, dude, I want to say, if you're on FIFA, here's what I'm going to do. Guys, definitely go follow. Listen to – you're on Spotify. Are you on Apple Podcasts, too?
We're on Spotify right now.
Okay.
But
I didn't want to get that wrong. You're on FIFA. I'm gonna give you some spreadification on FIFA, bro. I'm gonna give you my PSN ID, and I'll school you in a little bit. I'll give you some spreadification on some FIFA here. You'll take a FIFA betting from an old man. How's that sound?
Okay.
All right, brother. Look,
next Tortellini versus Ben, Clash of the Titans. On the pitch. I need that term, pitch.
All right, dude. Well, look, I love having you on. We're going to do this again in the future as we get a little closer to the season and get some serious shit to talk about. Thanks again for all that you've done for me. I appreciate having you on the pod. Look, T-Man, say goodbye to all the beautiful people.
All right. Thanks, Billy, for having me on. Taking the over. Been a pleasure.
Thank you, man. And look, we will see y'all on the other side later on. Y'all have a good night. Love you. Bye. Marijuana, LSD, psilocybin, DMT, the option, the acid, love's the only thing that ever saved my life. Don't waste your mind on nursery rhymes, fairy tales, blood and wine. Turtles on the way down.